This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The new Morning News with Nancy and Jason. Podcast.
Did you see where all those motorists were stranded on I-95?
It was only 24 hours. Don't you think we live in a world of complainers, Nancy?
No, wait a minute. Tim Kaine, the senator, it was 27 hours.
Oh, that's a lot worse. No, that's, I said that in jest. That would be my, I was once caught on the highway for like 7 hours with my friends after a concert. That's horrible. Like, it was insane.
Was
I can't
it
even
a
imagine.
Snowstorm?
No, my friend, we went to a concert. He drove his mom's minivan. This is way back when. And the alternator went and we, in the Jersey Turnpike. You can't. Oh, okay. It was pre-cell phone. It was cold, though. We were at the point where a bunch of straight guys were going, let's just get closer because we were freezing. But I can't imagine the length of time that you would. Like, yeah, that would be crazy.
And we're talking motorists, hundreds of them, if not more, were stranded in, it was, I think, 10, 11 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. And talk about 27 hours and some. There was a 40-mile stretch. Because all these tractor trailers jackknifed. And this reminded me of that snowstorm. It was, I believe, in 2007. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. But that happened right up off of the interstate, right off of where we are in Pittston. Yeah. And it went for miles. And they actually had snowmobilers who went up and like were helping people going car to car just to see if anyone needed anything. But I don't know if there's many snowmobilers out in Washington, but what a mess. They had nobody to like even, you know, check on people. So people were literally start the car up for like 5-10 minutes, then turn it off and wait an hour. And, you know, it gets really cold, then start the car back up. And people were running out of gas. I mean, it was just, it was awful, 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 awful.
Yeah, it's never a good situation. I mean, when it happened to me, it was pre-cell phone, and it just was a much different time. At least people could call and tell people, hey, just so you know, we're here, we're okay.
Just a few years ago, we had that happen in our area. Remember that snowstorm that came through? It was, I believe, in the afternoon. And I was staying over at the hotel down the road. And I was going to come back that afternoon to do some reports. I couldn't even get from the hotel because the pilot and that whole stretch of 315 was backed up from people that were, I mean, traffic was stuck for hours and hours. Can you imagine? That was bad enough. I think it was like 5 hours.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
for people stuck for 24, 27 hours. So again, this is a reminder because after that, for a few years, I was putting, you know, water in the back of the car, some chips in a bag, make sure you have a blanket, have a shovel. You never know when something like that can happen.
A helicopter would be handy. Just keep one with you because you never know. And the worst is, like, you know, you're at least, I'm trying to think if there were positives in that situation. I would think there was some positive in the fact that you weren't alone. So it was very obvious to everyone. They knew they weren't just, they knew something would happen. I guess it's the when. That was the big question.
That's the scary thing. I mean, I saw pictures of people that were in their little car surrounded by, you know, huge tractor trailers. And so on the one hand, it's also like I'm the type of person who gets a little claustrophobic.
Yeah.
So if I'm like completely surrounded by vehicles and, you know, like no one can get through.
Yeah, no,
I mean, people said they didn't even see an emergency vehicle come through for that entire period of time. So thank God there were no serious injuries.
Yeah, it's just
people, there were people who ran out of gas. And of course, then you also had truck drivers who usually have rations of food and they were helping other people, I guess.
Yeah, it's, I mean, look, the best in people will come out when you're kind of sort of stuck. I forget if I said it on the air yesterday. I might have talked about I get stuck in my road and all of a sudden neighbors I'd never talked to were like, let's push his car. People do come together. It's that sort of survivor mentality we have.
Yeah,
it's
try to help each other.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. The situation itself is god awful. I can't even.
It is. It is. And that's one of the reasons ever since people were getting stuck in Pennsylvania that they now a lot of times will ban tractor trailers if there's a big storm coming. Because what will happen is a few of those get stuck or, tangle up on an interstate and it shuts everything down. The American Red Cross does have some tips for everyone as we're getting ready. I guess we're going to see some snow on Friday, but it doesn't look like a lot. Okay.
Right.
The latest I saw, we'll talk to Snedeker later, but I was seeing somewhere around a couple inches, if even that. So we'll find out. But the American Red Cross says everyone should, motorists should have an emergency kit stashed in your car. You should have blankets, flashlights, non-perishable foods, liquids, and extra batteries. Also, if you're caught in snow and shelter or help is not visible within 100 yards, you should stay in the vehicle and then put a brightly colored cloth out of your window or tie it to your antenna to indicate distress. And they say run the vehicle no more than 10 minutes every hour to heat the cabin and preserve fuel, and make sure your exhaust pipe is clear and the windows are cracked open to avoid letting exhaust fumes in. These are important things. And as you mentioned before, you should also keep huddled together inside the car with others to preserve heat. And you should stay hydrated.
I mean, normally you're not traveling with strangers. Even in my case, the gross part was we came from a concert during an era of moshing. We were all sweaty. It was so cold. It was disgusting. We were getting ready to pick people off because it was. I don't know if you know this. If you're on we weren't going to pick people off. But if you ever get stuck in New Jersey, I don't know if it's still like this, but back then on the I think the Garden State Parkway, which is where we were, they have a deal where only certified people, it's a specific deal they have, so only some truck drivers can show up, so you can't even call AAA. It's wild.
Right.
We had to wait for the wink, wink, nod, the people with the handshake deal to show up. It was absurd. So these people, right. I feel their pain, but not their pain at all. Oh, man.
Well, we all know. We all know what it's like because we've had that happen a number of times in Northeast Pennsylvania. But
that was
crazy, though. 27 hours.
And I feel like there's been, haven't there been longer ones in the past? I feel like we've seen 48 hours somewhere. It seems like every couple of years this happens big, and this was this.
It happens out in these logging roads and these other places that barely get traveled out west, when they get a huge snowstorm. But to see people stuck for 24 hours, we don't see that very often. Anyway, we all know if you guys were stuck in that storm, you may remember it. Somebody remembered. Yes, I remember Ryan Leckie was he was on the news the next morning. And he was I think his camera person was they were both trapped in their car. Well, they were able to get out, to drink the snow, if I remember correctly.
The good news is, if your car battery dies and Ryan Leckie's in the car, he just touches it and it comes back to life because he's got so much energy, that guy. He's like supernatural. He's got so much energy.
It's scary, though. I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely terrifying.
Stuck in something like that with the cold and then watching the gas gauge. And, an hour is a long time sitting. Imagine 24. Anyway, crazy.
It's funny. There's one I found. There's very few flaws with the internet, but one of them is with searches. I'm trying to find old stories about cars being stuck. I feel like there was one a couple years back that was even longer than this. The only thing I could find now, it refuses to give me anything but the thousand stories that have been written over what happened over the past couple of days. So that's unfortunate.
It's
I know it's happened.
Wonder
20,000 stories.
But for the people there are asking. This is where government, where you hope that they have a plan in an emergency like that. People are saying this is crazy. It's one thing when, help is on the way and you see something, but it seemed like there was that's a long time not to be able to get that thing opened up.
I could be wrong here, but I would think they have an idea of what they need to do, which is move the vehicles. But it's always a slightly different situation, whether it's weather related, whether it's the size of the initial accident that blocks the roads. If it's one tractor trailer, that's one thing. If it's seven, it's, you know what I mean? It gets crazy. If the snow's still falling, that's going to change your plans too. So I feel like it's one of those situations where it's like, we got this once we figure out how we got this. I would assume that's what it is, and I feel like just because it's not always the same, it can't be, it won't be. But
well, the best thing we could say is, and most people, this is the thing you want to know. Oh, how would I, you know, deal with that? And yeah. And I think it's a very good idea to make sure you have just some of those provisions. You can throw some granola bars or something. Throw some of those little tiny jugs of water. You know, those, you know, the tiny bottles. You don't have to fill it up with, you know, the huge bottles of water, but those little tiny ones that, you know, the kids usually drink when they're really young. But, you know, throw them in the back of the car, throw a blanket in there, make sure you have a shovel. And as they said, batteries and a flashlight. It's a good idea to have, no matter what. Just
a little portable charger for your phone to plug that thing in, have that fully charged. Those are always good.
Think, what do I have in my car? Usually I have a bottle of water because taking my daughter to her games or whatever, we always have water, you know, bottled water somewhere. It may be open and half, you know, gone. Yeah. But really, for 24 to 30 hours, as they're saying, you really need to have at least a few granola bars and stuff.
Yeah, I think the mental aspect of that is the worst part because you're not going to die from hunger. You're not going to get dehydrated, especially in the snow. There's snow you could eat. So you'll survive it. It's just the mental factor would just kill you.
Well, yeah, like, but at least if you have
water,
yes, and mentally you'll feel better. At least
not in my car, you wouldn't, because I don't have anything that's needed to survive, but I have a lot of remnants of things I've half eaten and just things of crumbs. I'd be like, I don't clean my car like I should. It's my New Year's resolution. I'll work on it. Same as last year. It didn't happen.
I was looking at a story here. Imagine Virginia's icy traffic catastrophe, but with only electric vehicles.
I wonder how they would hold up compared to gas, like, you know, regular gas. Because if you kept turning it on and off, would it lose its charge faster? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Electric vehicles, everyone's talking about them and it's turned
into... They say that scientifically batteries of all kinds lose capacity much more quickly when it's really cold, right? So including those sophisticated lithium ion ones used by Teslas and other EVs. So
yeah, there's that story. This has been in the news. It was someone on the comment line was talking about the guy who got the $22,000 bill from Tesla for the battery. Or that was, the, I guess, what they wanted to charge him, and he blew it up. And it was like, you know, a big social media thing. So I started looking into it because I thought, I saw this story like three times, but never read it. So I read the whole thing and I thought, oh, it's real. The guy went to Tesla and they were like $22,000 to replace the battery. Because, and apparently this is a big thing now because the original Teslas came out in 2012 and 2014, and all of their warranties are starting to run out, and the warranties are running out. So people who are having battery issues now have to pay for them. And if you go to Tesla, they charge you $22,000, and people are getting this sticker shock. However, what's not mentioned in many of the stories is that I guess there's also people who repair the batteries for like $3,000 to $5,000. So it's like one of those things, like sometimes you go to a dealer, it can be more expensive. You find someone to fix your car. So there's, you know, still though, how much do you spend for gas a year? It's a long-term investment with those vehicles. And now we know maybe they aren't best in the snow. Who knew? Who knew?
Were you folks stuck in those snow backups and backlogs a number of years ago? We've had quite a few. Nothing, I don't think, that went as long as 30 hours, which I guess was the longest someone was stuck in that mess in Virginia. That's just crazy. At least I remember the stories when they were stuck on Interstate 81 back in 2007 that snowmobilers, you know, went up and they were able to maneuver around and try to see if anybody needed any help. But what a mess there. And I love it. Every story talks about Senator Tim Kaine being in the mess, which, look, it happened to a lot of people. It didn't matter if you're a senator, you know, a pauper, whatever it may
what is
be.
The, what is the, stuck, is, are, they stuck. Are they critiquing him? Like, I thought you were a big, powerful senator. Why are you, what are they upset about?
I guess it's not that anybody's upset. I guess it's just the fact that somebody, you know, well-known was in the mess. But it didn't matter. It didn't, you know, he didn't get any special treatment, I guess, you know.
Didn't give him a bigger piece of the one candy bar they were splitting? Come on. Well, maybe.
Didn't.
Typical
Meanwhile,
of someone, an elected official. He took the whole day and he sat in the snow instead of working. Vote him out. Exhausted. Vote the bum out.
Speaking of vehicles, Toyota Motor Company has dethroned General Motors as America's top-selling automaker in 2021. This is the first time since 1931 that the Detroit automaker was not the best-selling car company in the U.S. Now, I thought, seeing this, that it might have to do with the whole supply chain,
right,
and, you know, the chips and all that stuff. And I do see in a couple of these stories, they said Toyota was able to manage supply chain issues better. So that's why it was able to take away the throne. Now, does this mean if things get back to normal in some way, shape, or form sometime soon, that that would continue? Because, it, you know, the semiconductor chip shortage also caused some shutdowns of plants. And that's why there was record low vehicle inventories throughout the year.
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean, it's not like they're, it's not like they haven't been popular. You know, I'm just looking up. I'm curious to see, you know, what's been closest. You know, Ford has been leading for the longest time. Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty crazy.
I think that's what it had to do with. We'll see if things, you know, get back. But honestly, let's be honest. It was very difficult to find vehicles. Because of the chip shortage. And I believe from what I've seen, Toyota had an advantage there. And they were able to achieve the milestone by increasing sales of both cars and trucks last year. Even though they had a 25% decline in sales of its full-size Tundra pickup, but the smaller Tacoma increased enough, I guess, to offset that. But GM had a semiconductor chip shortage, and that severely impacted, you know, the situation.
So, I mean, look, there's a great argument to be made if we want to, you know, hang our hat and, you know, wave our hands and say we're number one of building everything here. Building everything here, you don't have to worry about it as much. You have to worry about just shipping, but not, you know, things coming in from overseas.
It costs probably more as well.
The new morning news with Nancy and Jason.
Podcast. Some of the things we're talking about, of course, people want to know what's going on with this snow event coming through tomorrow night into Friday. Just so you know, it looks like, according to the latest tracking, this thing is tracking in a favorable direction. If you, like us, would like less snow. So not no snow. But it looks like not the 4 to 8 or even probably the 3 to 6. We'll find out when we talk to Snedeker next hour. But that snow is going to start tomorrow evening and go through like some showery snow periods on Friday. In the morning, it should taper off by the afternoon. Now, even though we say it's not going to be a huge snow event, it's going to be enough to, I'm sure, create some issues Friday morning on the roads. Because sometimes it's the ones that aren't so big that, you know, people still go to work, still do what they have to do.
Right.
Just keep listening and we'll keep you up to date on what's going on.
Yeah,
but the everything I see is it's going to be less than we were worried about.
The worst are always the ones we think will be nothing but turn into just enough to be bad. Because, you know, especially if it's the first snow. You might as well just get out and back your car into a tree because people I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying people are so even if it's a quarter of the people or an eighth of the people, you just need a few people to be like, it's nothing to cause real problems for everybody. So,
yeah. Now, though, for those of you this morning, Carbon, Monroe and Pike counties from 7 this morning until noon, there is a winter weather advisory in effect. That's because freezing rain is expected with total ice accumulations of just a light glaze. But that can cause some problems there. And County. So be careful today with that. Did you see, you know how they're voting for the NFL MVP and Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers is a favorite to be named, but he's not going to get everyone's vote. Veteran Chicago sports writer Hub Arkish says he will not vote for Rodgers and it's not because of anything of his play on the field. Arkish said on a Chicago station yesterday, I don't think you can be the biggest jerk in the league and punish your team and your organization and your fan base the way he did and be the most valuable player. Now, he says he thinks Rodgers is probably going to win it, but Arkish continued, quote, I think he's a bad guy, and I don't think a bad guy can be the most valuable guy at the same time. He said, we are told to pick the guy who we think is the most valuable to his team, and I don't think it says anywhere strictly on the field. Although I do think he hurt his team on the field by the way he acted off the field. remember the whole missing the game.
Well, sure. I was going to say
COVID list.
He may win playing MVP, but will he win COVID responsibility MVP? No, he won't. I wouldn't vote for him. Yeah, this guy, you know, when a sports reporter goes on radio, and you know this, and if you've ever listened, some guests are really good at stirring the pot. He's like, he's a jerk. He's a bad guy. He's, you know, that's, he's trying to get everyone worked up. And look, it worked. I've never heard of Hub Arkish, but now I'll never forget him.
But he has a right, obviously, and whether I like his opinion or not, that's what they do. They make a decision. They're one of those who gets to vote on it, I guess. So he,
yeah, whenever
says
you bring,
he won't vote for him.
You know, and I question that with baseball a lot when they say, like, well, just it's not, they broke the rules. There's morality involved. It's like, it should be about their play. You know,
It's the most valuable, valuable. So is it valuable to have someone who, you know, acts like that? I mean, I think that's a good question. I don't know. It would be one of those things that I think could affect the outcome if there were two people that were very closely considered.
Right.
And in that case, you may then use the jerk part to sway your vote in the other person's direction. But is there someone who is more deserving? You know, if it was really close, I think that might tip it.
You tell me what this means. When he missed that game, it was against the Kansas City Chiefs. They lost the game. So does that mean his presence was so, like, to me, it shows his value as a player. He is seriously the most valuable player. Without him, they can't win or they don't win. So, you know what I mean? Like, or you could say, well, if he's such a good teammate, he wouldn't have put his team in that situation. But that has nothing to do with playing. You know,
right. Well,
it
but
shows
it
just
that,
how important.
But that shows your value to the rest of the team, right?
But
if what you've done has harmed their chances or, you know, affected their play.
It's most valuable player, not best player. Valuable, you show your value. If you go missing and your team suddenly loses and you come back and you start winning again, I feel like you're showing your worth. But you know what? Either way, he's a millionaire and I stop caring.
The Nancy and Jason Podcast.
570-883-0098. Call or text. Sometimes we respond. If we don't take it personally unless you, like Aaron Rodgers, are a jerk. I'm just kidding.
Ladies, you know he's not a jerk.
Oh, no. What? Are you looking for the king? Definitely not. Not a good segue.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you looking for the king? What?
Yeah, where is he?
We'll get him. Are you looking for the king? Who?
What? Wait, what?
Who?
Circle back around?
No. We're going 2 days old here. You should stuck in snow. Johnny Lucas is here. Now, we had been doing some people thought we forgot Lucas Live at 6:35 and then 8:35. Now, it didn't happen this morning, and it was by choice. And I'll just speak for Nancy when we say we hate Johnny's singing. I'm kidding. That's not true.
That's terrible.
That's not true at all. No, that's not true.
That's not true at all.
That's not true at all. Sorry, Johnny. Nancy, this is just so I could tell you were stunned by that. Like, oh my God, why would you do that? I'm
like,
kidding.
Why would you say that?
I love Johnny's singing.
That's not it.
No.
That's not it, folks. We have an Elton Johnny Lucas plan.
We do. Yeah, we do. I mean, do you want to roll it? Like, well, it's not even a finalized plan.
We're not rolling anything, but we just want you to know that Elton Johnny Lucas lives. He still lives. Right, Johnny Lucas?
That's right.
Here's my take on this. I just think, you know what? You singing every week was never how this was intended to work. It just kind of became that, right? And we will ignore all
we
ego.
We have better plans.
Yeah, we do.
Plans.
Okay, want to leave it at that? That's fine.
Leave it at that.
But I think you'll see him return. You'll see
Wait,
him return.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you'll see him return.
Wait, what?
He will return.
Hey, John Lucas, I have a question for you.
Okay.
If you were stuck in the snow for 24 hours, what would you have in your car that would be helpful right now?
Right now, a snow shovel.
Yeah, like you do have a snow shovel in your car.
Yes.
Do you have a blankie?
No.
No blankie. Okay, do you have a snack? Do you have like a granola bar or even like half a Pop-Tart?
How about a binky?
Do you have food? Do you have food?
Do I have food? No, not usually.
No, I mean right now.
Oh, no, not
what's
right.
What's in your car? Nothing,
What's in my car?
Water?
Snow shovel?
Anything?
The way you answered the food question, Johnny, was like you were thinking like, food, no, I don't. Oh, no. I have a whole plate of lasagna. Like, it just seemed like there was something there. You have nothing. You're like me. I think I have crumbs.
Just everybody think while you're driving to work or getting ready to go, what do you have right now in your vehicle that would help you if all of a sudden you were stuck in a traffic jam for hours and hours and hours? Because that's basically, now they knew snow was coming, let's be honest. Nobody said that it was going to be an easy ride for the folks on I-95. Yeah. So we should always be prepared. But with our snow system, which doesn't look like a doozy at all, but with that coming, it's probably a good reminder for all of us to make sure you have, I would say, have a six pack of water in your car at all times, have some kind of little box of non-perishable foods, whether it's granola bars, something that can withstand, you know, a long time and cold. But a blanket is a good thing, a flashlight, extra batteries. Right?
Text message, McDonald's French fries under the seat.
Yeah, now, that would work.
If they were, you know, clean, you don't want that old fry. Because they don't really decompose, so they look very similar to the new ones till you bite them. Been there, done that. Gross.
But I'm just saying we've had this situation, not 24 hours, but we had long stretches where people were stuck. And that has led to recent years where we've just been told that there are certain times when there's storms coming that tractor trailers will stay off the highways. And again, it's because they're big and when they tangle, they can block an entire interstate. And that's why. And I think it's worked out pretty well since then. But it is a good idea to have some of that stuff in your car at all times, just in case.
Can you imagine the benefit and the awesome follow-up or the response or the sales boost a company would see? Say like Frito-Lay or something was one of the trucks that jackknifed and their truck was full of foods and they could hand them out to all the drivers while they were stranded. That became the story. What an amazing, horrible way to get
in
free advertising.
In 10-degree weather, are they handing out anything?
Well, I'm just saying if people were stuck for 24 hours, that would be one of those stories. They'd be like, and it's crazy. It was a truck of hot, it was a hot cocoa truck. I mean,
I can't even imagine though being stuck for that long, and they say that nobody had come through. Nobody. So we at least, I remember when it happened here in 2007, there were snowmobilers who went up there, and I guess were going through the area to see if anybody was, you know, had any emergency needs. But that was, I think, an overnight. It probably was like 12 to 14 hours. If any of you were stuck in that, or maybe stuck in the one a few years ago, there were a number of them that one afternoon. I believe that was probably 3 or 4 years ago.
I know, yesterday, crazy. What were we asking yesterday? Oh, what was the thing you won? What did you win? Today, how about this? Where were you stranded and for how long? Doesn't have to be on the road. Where were you stranded and for how long? You were stuck somewhere for how long? Please don't just say I was at home.
But I was trying to think back. And for me, it was probably when I was in college. We were driving out to the beach. We were on the New Jersey, maybe Garden State Parkway, because it was towards Wildwood. And I just remember that a watermelon truck overturned. Now, it didn't overturn near us where we could go get it, but it was like 90 degrees. It was so hot. And we were stuck, I believe, for like 3 hours. But that wasn't... it wasn't horrible, but I had to pee. You know, so that's never fun.
That is crazy. And they just happened to be filming a movie there, I'm guessing. There was a watermelon truck. That's like such a cliche kind of thing. Or driving through the fruit stand.
Being in the extreme heat is a little bit better than being in the extreme cold. But when you have to go to the bathroom, you have to go to the bathroom. People were just walking down, you know, and off the edge of the... But it wasn't like I was near like foliage or, you know, trees or anything. It was just really weird.
But, yeah,
I held it in, by the way.
I was going to ask, but I thought that was too much. No, please tell. No, but where were you stuck? I don't think it has to be even in a car. Like, I'd love to hear those people who... I want to know what it was like when you were stuck on the top of a roller coaster that got stuck for 2 hours.
Oh, God.
Those stories.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, in an elevator. Is that as much fun as the movies make it out to be? 570-883-0098. 570-883-0098. Where were you stuck and for how long?
Yeah, we want to hear it. We want to all share in your terror. What's this? November 2017, 5 hours from Davis Street, Interstate 81 to Kingston. Yeah, that was one of the messes then.
The Nancy and Jason podcast.
Text message here. I was stuck in 81 North, just south of the 80 Junction during the Valentine's Day storm. Had a good time with my dad. Both worked at the same place. The only people who showed up to work that morning. I think we were stuck for 12 hours.
That was 2007.
Had the pleasure of going number one on the interstate, LOL. Bragger.
Aw. Well, yeah, that what a mess.
I want to just see if we get anybody to tell us something that's not a highway story or a work.
Well, I want to hear the highway stories because I want to feel like I can prepare myself for the next time.
But I also want to hear about an elevator. I want to hear about your treehouse.
Oh, how about this? We were talking about the Powerball, which tonight is the drawing, and it's now up to $610 million. So $610 million. But how about this one? Somebody in Lackawanna County, or at least somebody went to Lackawanna County and bought a ticket. There's a $3 million winning Monopoly 100X scratch-off ticket. Whoa. It was sold at the Fast Lane Mart on Main Street in Taylor. So how about that? You have a year to claim it. They expire 1 year from the game's end sale date. So,
do you find that troubling at all, that they know where the tickets are that are the winners and when they're sold? I wonder if they get a notification after it's sold. They must, because if not, you'd have people going.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder how that happens, because
it's not like the winner stepped forward. They're waiting to hear who the winner is. Interesting.
Right. All right. Yeah, that's really crazy. So a $3 million winner. And I wonder, you know, that person will eventually come forward. But in the meantime, that's pretty exciting. $3 million. Wow.
Especially if it's my ticket, which I didn't buy. So I don't know how to get it.
It's time for us to hear from you folks. Jason had one ready and then he did a whole brand new one.
Had to, it is
the WILK comment line.
Hunter Biden traded in his plug-in sedan for an $80,000 BMW.
Dang. Lucky.
Listening to the radio today, I hear people calling in and say that they'll get the flu shot, but not the COVID shot. COVID is another virus, like the flu. If you will take a flu shot, then you should take a COVID shot. When you get a flu shot, it's a buckshot of what the flu might be this year. It's a good guess. The COVID shot is probably better than the flu shot of them knowing what's in it, because it's aimed at a particular virus. They're both viruses.
This is Phil from Hanover. I wanted to honor my father-in-law, John Olenek, prisoner of war in the Philippines. But there was just too many blabbermouths on Cadero's show, and I never got to honor my father-in-law. So I hung around for Frank Andrews, and all he talked about was he's stuck at home. Well, I'm stuck at home, too. And I'm cooking and cleaning and making myself useful. So I never got to honor my poor father-in-law, prisoner of war in the Philippines, because the only good people there are Jake and the guy that gets the donuts.
If you've got something to say, we've got just the place to say it. The WILK comment line. Be opinionated, creative, be interesting, but most importantly, make a point. The WILK comment line. 570-883-7135.
There you go. It makes me a little sad because Phil has called me his radio son at times, but apparently I'm not good anymore.
Oh, well.
The new Morning News with Nancy and Jason.
Podcast.